for blessing us that way. You know, last night I went to Tammy and I said, "Now, honey, normally I would have 40 red roses for you, but we're leaving town on Wednesday, and I don't want that to go to waste." I said, "What if I just always made sure you had plenty of flowers while we're on our trip?" She said, "That will work." And then look what God did. So he even had my back, even though I was going a little bit cheap. But anyway, thank you, church. And we love Jack Allen's. We will put that to good use. And I don't know if you've heard. I know a lot of you have heard, but we're going to be going on an extended anniversary trip to Spain and Portugal. And that's something that Tammy's always wanted to do. And so this is the year. And she reminds me regularly, I've waited 40 years for this. So anyway, we've got great speakers every Sunday while I'm gone. And I pray that you would come and hear. You know, God still speaks, whether it's me or somebody else. And I just know each week they're going to have a great message that kind of goes with the theme that God is greater than our highs and lows. And so, yeah, we're going to miss you while we're gone. Maybe not that much, but we'll be back. We'll be back in a month and get back on the horse and ride it. But today I want to finish up our series on James. And when Chance was doing announcements, there was something that I thought of that maybe he didn't think about. But when it comes to our school board, I have parents come to me all the time complaining about the schools now in Leander. You know, a lot of us left Austin because of a liberal agenda. Well, it's made its way now to Leander, and we're living in a very liberal school district because of the liberal leaders that serve on that board. And the only way to change things is to dethrone them from their liberal seats and get more conservative, God-loving leaders on that school board. And so the only way to do that is to vote and to change the leadership. And so we're hosting an event for those conservative candidates to come and speak to people that are interested and should be interested. Whether you have kids or not, if you pay taxes in Leander, you have a voice and you can make a difference in the leadership of our school and education system here in Leander. And so I just encourage y'all, we're going to have, I think for our church, we're going to have some pizza lunch so you don't have to leave and come back. It's going to start around 1 o'clock. Each of the conservative candidates are going to share their heart and why you should vote for them. I thought it would be interesting, though, for you to come and hear what they have to say. Some of you don't have a clue about the problem. Can I just tell you, it's a big problem. Tammy and I went to one of the school board meetings, and it is liberal, as you can imagine. And I left just sick to my stomach about the agenda they have for your children. And they're expecting you not to do anything. They're expecting to have full control, and they're going to force your children things that have nothing to do with you know, adding and subtracting and writing and arithmetic and all that stuff. No. They now are using the school systems to indoctrinate your kids morally and ethically and to pull them away from God. That is the agenda. And parents, you need to rise up, and we need to fight back. Amen. And the best way to fight is to get new leadership. Amen. Amen? So that's why our church is playing an active part in this. We're not going to sit on the sideline and watch our children's education go down the drain. Yes, dear. We're going to order enough pizza, so if you're welcome to stay. You may only get one or two pieces instead of five, but you're going to have enough. You're going to have enough to get you by until 3 o'clock. Amen? All right. Let's talk about James. Today I'm finishing up this series. The whole idea behind this series was to take each chapter, there's five chapters in James, to take each chapter and maybe find some big takeaways or talking points that might help encourage us and equip us to live more like Jesus. That's what our responsibility is as Christians. And so in week one, we talked about testing and persevering. In week two, we talked about listening and doing. Week three, how faith needs to be partnered with works. That faith without works is what? Dead. It's meaningless. And so our faith should be shown to others through the works that we do in our life. And I'm going to talk about two of those today. Last week we talked about speaking and boasting. James said, use your words. They have power. Use your words in the right way. Right? Use your words to bless people, not to kill them. And so last week my challenge was, would you be more intentional with the words that come out of your mouth? And today I want to finish up the series by talking about two of my favorite topics, and that's waiting and praying. Waiting on God. Who's good at waiting? No hands. I got the right audience. We're not good at waiting. And then who's good at praying? Who thinks we can be better at praying? Yeah. And so hopefully we're going to learn something from what Pastor James has to tell us today. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, we need to hear. Give us ears to hear about the importance of patiently waiting for you or for other things in life, and while we wait, the importance of praying. I pray that we would lean into what we hear, that we would lean into being willing to be better at waiting and praying while we wait. Help us to be better at this, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to James chapter 5. Waiting and praying. A while ago I said faith without works is dead. So two of the most important works that a believer can do is to wait, patiently wait on God, and while you're waiting, to pray. Those are two actions that would demonstrate your faith. And as we look at the text, I think we need to remember the context in which it was written. James is writing to Christians, Jewish Christians. Most of them were Jews that converted to Christianity, and now they're being persecuted for their new faith. They've been dispersed, they've scattered for fear of life and death, right, by the Roman government. And so they're in some peculiar times. They're not in their normal place. They're not in their country or region of origin. Fear has crept in. Doubt has crept in. I can't think of a time in my lifetime where I've lived that, but I'm imagining that that might be coming to our country. If you just watch the news, right? We've got a president that's turned dictator, and he's forcing things on us that normally no president that I can think of in my lifetime has ever forced on American citizens. We're in dangerous times, church. And we need to understand what James is writing to that first church about the importance of waiting patiently, not to lose our joy in the process, not to run in fear, but to stand firm and pray, trusting God's going to take care of us. Amen. Easier said than done. But we have a part, we have a responsibility that James reminds us about in his letter. He starts off in chapter 1 by reminding us to count it all joy when we face tough times. And then he's finishing today with, here's how you do it. You wait patiently and you pray fervently. Now, most of us are not good at that. What we are good at is trying to fix the problem quickly so we don't have to stay in the problem long. And there's just some things we can't fix. Almost daily, we'll be watching the news. I don't watch the news much, but even if you watch the news a little bit, you get frustrated by what you hear. And constantly, Tammy, on a daily basis, going, Bob, we need to say something. We need to do something. I said, go ahead. I'm just thinking there's probably better people with bigger audiences that should be doing the, you know, and I'll get on their bandwagon. I'll join. It's frustrating. It's frustrating. I can't imagine why people closer to the problem aren't being able to use their voice and their power and authority to change things. So, in the process, we have to what? Patiently wait. And we have to pray. And we're held to a responsibility of not losing our Christ-like witness and character. It's easy to get angry. I've had angry thoughts. A brother of mine shared a story that's happened to his family, and I just, you know, this fleshly anger just wants to rise up in me, you know, and if I'm not careful, my prayer might go, God, just wipe them all out. But I'm believing that God is allowing things for a purpose. He did with Job. Nobody wants Job's life, but God used it for his glory, and so I'm going to get to that in just a moment. Here's what James writes in his letter. In chapter 5, I'm going to start with verse 7. Verses 1 through 6 are a little bit rough. If you have any wealth, go and read it on your own, and if the shoe fits, wear it. I'm going to start with verse 7. So I'm not going to read it, but when you read it, it's almost like James was having a bad day, and he just rips on wealthy people that are taking advantage of poor people. And then it's like he had a good night's sleep, and he woke up the next day and picks up with verse 7. There's no way you can transition from verse 6 to verse 7 unless you had a good night's rest. Read it on your own. You'll enjoy it, I think. All right, verse 7. Here's how he starts. Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Again, easier said than done. Be patient. Three times he uses the term be patient or patiently wait. Patience is one of the eight fruits of the Spirit. It's a characteristic of Christ followers. I would say it's a discipline of Christians. We need to be disciplined to be patient. We naturally are not patient. So we have to discipline ourselves. The more you have to wait on things and practice patience, I think the better you can get if you choose to. Here's the definition of patience: the capacity to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry or upset. Honey, did you hear that? Listen. The capacity to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry or upset. The implication is we're going to have to wait for things. And the goal in waiting is not to become angry or upset in the wait. That's the goal. It seems to me like the faster paced our culture becomes, the harder it is to be patient and wait. I think back to the microwave. The microwave oven. Who remembers? Who was alive before the microwave oven? Raise your hand. See, just not too many, just the older people. So young kids, young adults, there was a day where we did not have a microwave oven. And it took mom 30, 45 minutes to make dinner. I found myself being impatient with a microwave the other day. I was fixing myself breakfast. And it took 2 minutes. And I was in a hurry. And I took it out after a minute. And the sausage and egg were still cold in the middle. I think about the internet. Who gets impatient when it takes a few minutes to download a file? It's got to go to outer space and back. I'm just saying, as things have developed and we get things quicker, fast food, you can drive through and order and get your food in 5 minutes. And sometimes we get impatient. if we have to wait 7 or 8 minutes. And then your phone, you know, the ability to text message and to save photos and to post photos. And sometimes, you know, we have to wait a few minutes for things to happen. We get so impatient. I mean, think about before phones, but before the internet, we had to mail letters to communicate. And you write a letter to your mom, and it may take a week. Listen, it may take a week or more to hear from her. I think that's not a bad thing. I think by us trying to hurry up things, we've added more problems to our life. Here, James, before any of these great inventions, he uses the farmer as his example. The farmer has to do his work and plant seed and water, but now he's got to wait for God to send the rains. He has to wait weeks and months hoping that something will happen because his life depends on it. If there's no rain, there's no harvest, there's no production, there's no food, you don't eat. And so James is reminding his audience, we have to be patient like the farmer is patient waiting on rain. In other words, it's going to take time. It's going to take time. And one of the ways to recalibrate our hurried self, because we're not used to waiting, is to keep in mind how things used to be before they got so fast, and to keep in mind that not everything depends on us, so we are going to be forced to have to wait for things. And one of the things that helps while we're waiting is to be patient, to not lose our temper, to get angry and frustrated and, destroy our witness as believers. And then to pray. He said you need to patiently wait and stand firm for the Lord's return. Now, his way of bringing hope and encouragement to his listeners 2,000 years ago was to remind them, listen, the Lord's coming again. He's coming soon to rescue us from this persecution we're suffering in. And when James wrote that letter, in James' mind, that could be today. That could be tomorrow. That's still true for today. Because he used the term near. The Lord's return is near or at hand. It's imminent. That means it could happen any moment. Now, it's interesting looking back, we have the perspective of time, and, well, that didn't happen near to him, but it's still in the cards for us. It could happen any time. And I'm wondering why James used that word, and I think it's because he had faith to believe that it could happen near to his lifetime. And we need to exercise faith the same way. We need to still believe it could happen any moment. And so it's still near for us. It was then, it still is today. And until he returns, church, we need to wait patiently and stand firm. I've been in stock trading school, learning how to trade stocks. The goal is to make money. I have not been successful yet, but I'm using paper money to learn, and I'm learning how impatient I am. A couple weeks ago, I had a really good trade, but I thought that it was going to go south. I wasn't patient for it to take its breath and turn up again, and I got out. And lo and behold, 2 or 3 daters, it took its turn, and I probably lost out on an opportunity to make several $1,000s because I was too impatient. I got out too soon. Can you think of something that maybe you got out of too soon and then looking back realize, had I just waited a little bit longer, things would have been a whole lot better? I think James was writing to an audience to tell them, hey, be patient and stand firm. Don't get out of the game too quick. I'm wondering if there's going to be people in our generation today that are thinking about leaving the faith because, well, God's just taking too long to come and do what he said he was going to do. And therefore, I'm not sure I believe anymore. And James is saying, church, listen, if Jesus said he was coming again, he's going to come again. Amen. Jesus is not a liar. If he's real, he's not a liar. And that's what we have to look forward to, even in the times we're living in. Jesus could come at any minute and make things right, and all of these problems that we're feeling right now will be behind us. And that's really our only hope, is to wait for his return. And then in verse 9, he talks about avoid grumbling. That's what we do when we get impatient. We moan, groan, and complain about our circumstances. That doesn't help. And then in verse 10, he marries this idea of being patient with suffering. Again, easier said than done. It's one thing to be patient when everything's going well. It's another thing to be patient when things aren't. He says, brothers and sisters, verse 10, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets, for example, who spoke in the name of the Lord. And as you know, we count as blessed those who persevered. We know if you read the history of the prophets, they stood for God, spoke for God. They were heavily persecuted. Almost every one of them died for speaking out for God. But they persevered nonetheless. And then he specifically mentions Job. He said, you've heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about to him. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. If you read the story of Job, he lost everything. And it was part of God's plan. God used Job as his poster child for what faithful should look like. And I'm glad he chose Job and not me. He gave Satan permission to take everything from Job that was meaningful to Job. And he did. He lost his family. He lost his fortune. He lost all of his friends. Endured a prolonged season of suffering. But let me remind you, God allowed it for a purpose. And as we all know, now that we know how the story ends, God repaid Job multiple times over for what he lost. He restored everything back to Job and ended up blessing him in the end. One of the thoughts I had when I was reading that verse was, if I were to ask Job, was it worth it? Was it worth the wait? You ever thought about that when you're waiting for something? Have you ever waited for something a long time, but then it happened, and then you think, it was worth the wait? I was talking to my sister in Christ, Tammy Guthrie. She's been battling cancer for a long time. And I asked her, I know you wouldn't have asked this to come on you, but it's come on you. And I know you've had to patiently endure through this process. But I want to ask you, Tammy, would you say it was worth it? And with tears in her eyes, she said, yes. I said, how so? She said, well, it's brought me a lot closer to God. It's brought her and Carl closer together. I don't know what that's like. She does. And she said, it helped me recalibrate to just living in the moment. I think the Apostle Paul said, don't worry about tomorrow, just worry about today. Take one day at a time. It helped her to refocus her priorities from being busy and working and all these other things to spending time with the Lord. And that's how she's grown closer to God. And so, if you're struggling with your faith, If you think God's taken too long for something, or it's maybe you prayed for something and it didn't happen the way you prayed, and you know, you're thinking, you would never admit this, but you're thinking, why pray? God's going to do what he's going to do anyway. I would say talk to Tammy. Talk to Sister Tammy and let her encourage you. She's been through what James is talking about. And she would say, as funny as it might sound, it was worth the wait. She's still waiting. She's still waiting. And then James turns the attention to prayer. I know Tammy and Carl have done a lot of praying. Here's what he says in verse 13. Is anyone among you in trouble or suffering, really? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. He goes on, if they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. And then he says this. This is worth memorizing. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. The prayer of a righteous person, a faithful person. If you're a doubter or pouter, moaner, groaner, complainer, and you're praying, no guarantees. But the prayer of a righteous person, the prayer of a faith-filled person will make a difference. And notice the response to each of these situations was what? Prayer. Which begs the question, shouldn't that be our default response when we're sick or when we're broke or when we're having marriage problems or relationship issues or spiritual turmoil? Shouldn't prayer be our first step, not our last step? And if it's not, why is that? There's been several times in my walk as a Christ follower, as a pastor, that I've had this problem with believing God for miracles when I've prayed for miracles and they didn't happen. And really what it is, it's a form of unbelief. And so many times I've had to ask the Lord, Lord, help me with my unbelief. Because it will get in the way and stay in the way if you don't deal with it. People will pray as much as they believe it will work. Think about that. We will pray as much as we believe it will work. If you're having a problem praying because you have a problem believing that it will work, I would challenge you, why don't you get with God today and repent of that? And just say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for not believing. I'm sorry for accusing you of not being a good God when you didn't answer my prayer. And you know which prayer you're talking about. There are some prayers, doesn't matter much if he answered, but there were some prayers that really mattered. It was almost like God was on trial. If he doesn't come through on this one, you need to repent of that. You've not earned the right to judge God. And so I had to repent of that. I've shared that story before. And I don't have that problem right now. Never say never. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So if you want to supercharge the waiting and maximize the return on your patience, add prayer to the equation. And just on a daily basis. Here's another reason why I think James says pray in your waiting. It keeps you connected to God, and it keeps you connected to the one that can solve the problem that you can't solve. You quit praying, you disconnect from God. And if you quit praying, you probably quit reading your word. And if you quit reading the word and praying, you probably quit coming to church or you quit serving. We have different ways to walk out our losing faith or lack of faith. And I just say be careful, because it never leads to something better. and you end up having to repent down the road anyway and come back, just don't go down the road. Just stop in your tracks right now and repent. Get back on the horse. Keep riding it. You don't have any better options. That's the best option you got. And so whether you're in trouble or happy or sad or sick, James says, pray and trust that every word you offer up to God is heard by God, because your words are powerful, and that he will act on those words and it will affect change. It may not be in your timing. He may change the plan a little bit because your plan wasn't as good as his. And then he mentions Elijah. Elijah was a human being, just like you and me, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain. I want to get a hold of the guy that's been praying for it to not rain. Lake Travis is empty. And it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed and the heavens gave rain and the earth produced its crops. James is saying prayer matters. When you add fervent prayer in the mouths of the righteous, you supercharge the season of waiting. Praying just helps you get through the waiting. And so I'll say it again. For those who believe, waiting patiently and prayer are two of the most powerful forces on earth. Martin Luther once said, I preach as though Christ died yesterday, rose from the dead today, and is coming back tomorrow. That's just a healthy, let's stay present in the moment faith that we need to get through this day. Don't worry about tomorrow. You may not have tomorrow. Just stay focused. Shorten your time frame. Just focus on today. In fact, it wouldn't be a bad idea when you pray every day, say, Lord, would you come today? Lord, come. Lord, come. We're waiting for you to come. We need you to come. I think that's the perspective James had 2,000 years ago. I think it's a perspective we still need to have today as we're moving forward into the future. We need to be patient. We need to stand firm. And we need to pray until the Lord returns and make all things right. Can you say amen? So as we close the series, I pray that we would do something with what we heard. Whether it's persevering during a time where we're being tested, whether it's doing what God's word says, don't just hear it and ignore it, but do something with it. That our faith would be demonstrated through our works, hopefully good works. Our words would be helpful, not hurtful. And our commitment to waiting and praying would grow deeper and stronger. All of these things are intentional opportunities to let our Christ-likeness grow, develop, and then be shared with the world we live in. Amen? And so, I want to take just a moment. If you're sitting next to somebody, would you grab their hand? Just grab their hand and pray for them. Pray for them. Whatever comes to mind, pray a blessing over them. Pray a blessing over them. Pray a blessing. Father, I pray over our church that we would demonstrate the message that James wrote to the early church. And although these things are not easy, they are possible. And with the power of the Holy Spirit in our life, they are doable. I pray that we'd be intentional. We'd walk it out day by day. Speak to our hearts of any area where we're not obeying you, and give us an opportunity to repent and to change. Lord, I pray for our country. I pray that you would intervene in such a way that it would reverse the course it's on. if that's your will. And it would start at the top. Either a conversion, either our president converts and becomes a Christian, or you remove him from office. And every leader that he appoints and every leader that represents him, I pray that they would have a born-again experience by the power of God, or they would be removed from office. I pray for our state. I pray for our city. I pray for our school board. And I pray for people in our church that are suffering in some way right now. Pray they would find it within them to not lose hope. Find a way every day just to pray and stay present in the moment with your love and your wisdom from your word. And then surround themselves with other like-minded brothers and sisters that will hold their hand and cry with them and pray with them and encourage them. We don't have to go through this world suffering alone. We always have you. And we do have each other. I pray that the church would be really good about being present in the moment and loving each other and praying for each other until you return. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.